to the Barca Breakdown. I'm Yusuf, and I just want to start and ask Adam how he's doing today.
Not great. Been better, Yus. Real Madrid at top of the table. Messi's hurt, thankfully for not too long, hopefully just a week.
True.
Might miss the Inter Milan game, a little bit sad about that. 30 minutes of that game were pretty bad, but we'll break it down and get into it.
Get to the nitty-gritty, down and dirty.
But starting with the chant, Messi at the beginning,
yes,
we have something to be happy about. Lionel Messi won the best.
The best.
Men's player of the last season. Kind of a shocker. What did you think?
More we talked about it, I agreed with you that I thought that it was interesting, especially with the last few FIFA best players stuff and him not winning and how Van Dijk was winning quite a few of those things. I think that...
he was undoubtedly the best player last year. Let's just get that straight.
Yeah.
It's just the mainstream media, the Madrid media. We know how the whole rigmarole goes. Papa Florentino's paying off all those dudes.
Well, I think he's won so many of these things, too, that it's almost like beating a dead horse. Like,
I think you're 100% right. It's kind of like how LeBron James has three NBA MVPs.
Sure.
I mean, voters at some point just get kind of tired, and I think that's, you know, it's why we saw Modric win last year. Although he did win a Champions League and made a World Cup final, so I'll give him some credit.
But he didn't even look that good later in the World Cup final. He kind of didn't.
True, he got a little bit tired.
Yeah.
But overall, pretty surprising. I don't know. I think all Barca fans want Messi to win another Ballon d'Or. He put him at 6th record, one above Cristiano, which would be nice.
Uh-huh. This season's starting off hard for him.
True. He has missed a lot of games. You know, I saw some comment that was like, well, we shouldn't rush him in to play against Inter Milan next week because he's not really in the contention for the Golden Boot, which was a realization I hadn't made before, which is a letdown. At the same time, I mean, if you could switch a Golden Boot for Messi being healthy and 100% fit in the Champions League quarterfinals, if we make it Ernesto and semis and finals, I would be happy. So, you know, let's get into the game, right? So we played Villarreal. Last year, we beat them 2-0 at home in December. Piqué and Alenia scored. And then in April, we had that 4-4 away game.
That was a nutty game.
Where Suarez and Messi scored both in the 90th minute and above.
It was crazy.
It was pretty crazy. Yeah. It reminded me of that Sevilla game.
Was that when we were in San Diego?
No, that was the Atletico game where Suarez scored and Messi.
Right. Okay.
Very similar, though. It was like a weekend after.
Okay.
So going to the game, didn't feel great, but kind of the narrative I've been, you know, saying about all season, and I think it's going to continue this weekend away, unfortunately, is that we play away, the team looks awful. At home, the team looks better.
It's a whole different ball game.
It is a whole different ball game, and it's a major problem that we need to solve. Let's get into the starting lineup. So, first time ever, Messi, Suarez, Griezmann. I think that was pretty much expected.
Yeah.
With
his first game back.
True. And then Jan, we had Sergio Roberto in the midfield with Busquets and Arthur. Glad to see Arthur played.
I was so happy.
As we'll get into it, he's really coming into form and just looking amazing. Firpo again.
Well, we didn't have a choice.
Of course, no choice with Alba. But pretty standard lineup. So the thing about this game is that definitely the first 15 minutes were the best. So you want to break down the two goals, what you thought?
Yeah, so the first goal was a corner from Messi and a crazy header from Griezmann. It was miraculous, honestly.
It was beautiful.
Like,
great movement in the box, and then boom.
Yeah.
Just gently glided it into the top of the net.
Which is really amazing for, you know, in the last year especially, I've really noticed there's been really a low conversion rate off crosses and making goals.
Except for against us, of course.
Well, of course. Yeah, that's a given. But for us, scoring has been really low. And we just don't have the height other than Piqué and maybe Lenglet now. But they always seem to have poor positioning somehow. Or it's just not ideal for them. But
it's not our strength.
Yeah. Griezmann coming out and making a early goal with that, it was awesome. I've been wanting Griezmann to show up more and more. And he seemed, this game, I thought he looked really good.
Immense.
Offense and defense, he looked really good. He tried to do a lot of connections with the wingers. He tried to...
Which he is one, which is part of the issue we'll break down. And then I thought, I mean, the second goal, right? Artur, what can you, I mean.
Rocket.
Yeah. Took a page out of the Rakitic, you know, three season ago book. But it was amazing. I mean, Boosie passed him the ball. It was kind of a slick little no look. And then, you know, you just saw him gearing up for a shot. And I don't know. For some reason, I'm always thinking about the shot in the Clasico last year at home when he almost scored against Courtois. I always think about that long-range shot, and I'm always like, I wish he would try a bit more, and boom, second goal of the season, second goal as a Barca player. Just fantastic.
Think of this. I've been saying for a while, like, we need to start taking more shots, and even if it's from the midfield, you know, and these players coming up and pushing, Arthur's pushing, which I really like, taking that chance and just saying, hey, I'm going to go for it. I have some space. I'm going to take a chance, and even if he didn't score it, if it came off the woodwork, somebody else put it back in, that would be wonderful. I'm just happy he took the shot, and I'm even happier. It was a wonderful, beautiful goal.
And then to round it out, right before halftime, we got the only other goal of the game, which was from Santi Cazorla.
Yeah.
And pretty good shot. Had some nice twist to it. Did feel like Stegen kind of should have saved it. What did you think?
I was thinking a similar part or a similar idea. He got his hand slightly on the ball. I think he just wasn't ready for it. I didn't think that he thought that he was going to take the shot. And so he kind of hesitated maybe. And
then he jumped too far to the left.
But, yeah,
you know, there was
true.
Some dip on the ball. I mean, it was a good shot. But, you know, at the same time, we hope he would have saved it. And
we
then,
need him to save it, honestly. We need these clean sheets.
I know. I just... Yeah. Not to say that I delight in your bad predictions, oh but your God. Zamora Trophy prediction
hold on.
Really off.
I didn't necessarily say he was going to win it. I said, I did not say that.
Well, we're going to have the quote me on it. If you guys remember about eight podcasts ago, we said we're going to, you know, make some predictions and revisit them after the Getafe game, which, holy crapola, this year is going by way too quick, and it's here this Saturday. So we'll bring up the tape. Okay. Don't worry, Yus. Okay. You'll
have to cut it in. And we'll
the whole breakdown squad will remember this combo about the Zamora Trophy. So after that goal, and even, I mean, I guess from 15 minutes to about 75 minutes, right? 73rd minute is when Fati came on. That middle part of the game was just classic Valverde trash. I mean, seriously. Like we're obviously, and everyone here who's a Barca fan is going to focus on the last 15 when we had Frankie on, we had Fati on, and when the team looked really dynamic. Mm-hmm. But that middle period was bad. I mean, there was some issues in there, right? So one thing is that Messi got hurt, and he kept playing for the rest of the half. But that meant that between minutes like 30 and 45, he couldn't really press at all. And, you know, I actually saw some interesting theories online, which really encapsulates that period of the game. It's just that some of the older guard of Barcelona don't look quick enough and almost ambitious enough to play a quick-paced game to really make this team click, right? It seemed like there was this weird duality of Griezmann, of Arthur, and then Dembele when he came on at half for Messi, where these players were really trying to link up quick. And it just, I mean, I've been saying it this whole season, it just feels like Busquets is not at the peak of his game and at the speed we need him to be. I mean, how does Sergio Roberto keep starting in the midfield, right? I mean, two games in a row, Luis Suarez and Sergio Roberto were just atrocious, and yet we keep playing him. And then let's bring on, you know, let's just get all this bad stuff out before I get your take, Yus. Luis Suarez was so awful.
That was going to be number one comment for me.
Feet made of stone. Yeah. It's like he never goes for the ball. I think he's trying to be too actually unselfish, give the balls up at times when I think he should take a shot. It almost seems like one of those situations, and you hate to see it in sports, you hate to see it, but where a player's body isn't what it used to be, but their mind is still in that frame of thought.
Yeah.
And so he's trying things out there that clearly are not adaptable to his body. So what did you think about all those points I just made? Sergio Roberto, Suarez, old versus young.
So your Sergio Roberto and Suarez take are pretty keen. I agree with most of that. I would say the biggest downfall to the game was Suarez's play, I think, because he got the ball quite a few times and didn't... He lost it, or he tried to do something and he just lost it. But I was going to say that Busquets, I think, did a fine job. I think that the issue with Roberto being played this game was because FDJ Also has been playing every game, so maybe he needed a little rest. And he just traveled to Italy for the award ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought maybe like they wanted to give him a little rest. But then if you're considering Busquets and Suarez being the older guys that are not or lackluster, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a good portion of our midfield and front that should have been very energetic. Although Messi seemed to have some issues, if you're not counting him, because Messi is usually on top of his game when he's healthy.
Sure.
I think the only thing holding us back was Suarez and Roberto, Sergi. Which I think we should have made much more happening in those minutes. But it didn't happen. So you could be very right.
One thing I will say, and this is kind of a point that a lot of people bring up, is as Messi gets older and is not pressing as much, which, you know, I see both sides of the argument. I think we do need him to press more in certain moments, but at the same time, he's 32. He's going to score, you know, insane amounts of goals for us. We don't necessarily need the offensive player on that that defensive side. But the problem is you can't have two players that are doing that. Mm-hmm. So what ends up happening, and this is... this is kind of, it's related to two things. One is the first thing I've been saying this whole season, which is that we need width in the team, and that was a big issue last season, and that when we play Messi at that traditional right wing role, he doesn't actually play it. And so what happens is Sergio Roberto, or in the last two seasons has been Rakitic, they have to do this weird thing where they have to accommodate Messi and play his defensive side, which then ends up having a huge imbalance in the midfield because they're kind of in this midway point between you know, the front half of the goal, where, and they're also a midfielder. And, you know, this game worked out well because, as we were saying, Griezmann was a workhorse out there on defense, covering on that left side because of Sergio Roberto being, you know, defending Messi's portion of the field. But overall, I think that, you know, we're going to need to see Luis Suarez benched. There's just no other way to say it than that, right?
I was happy that Valverde took him out and put in, it was Fati for...
Yes.
Yeah.
But still, having Suarez play 73 minutes of that game when he was very bad last game and the whole part of this game, you know, like...
What
frustrates
see,
me
though?
Is that I see Busquets get benched by Valverde. I see Rakitic get benched by Valverde. You know, less so with Rakitic, but Busquets is a legend of the club, one of the all-time greats. And to have the cojones to bench Busquets is wonderful. I think it's a great job by Valverde to see that the team needs a different dynamic sometimes. But I just wish he takes that next step and does it to Suarez. And I think to go to your point about what do I want to see for the future, that's when we can kind of get into this last 20 minutes of the game, right? Oh, I don't know how much we can say it. I don't know how excited the Camp Nou can be, but Fati is really just like a brilliant spark of energy and runs and connecting with Frankie De Jong, connecting with Griezmann, connecting with Dembouz that is just so needed right now.
He also just had the energy. I mean, he had fresh legs. It was late in the game, but he had... And this is the problem I see with Dembele sometimes, not so much this game, but he tries to do something, get around the defender, and he loses the ball. Fati looked phenomenal on that.
Yeah,
he was juking people,
crazy
really.
Crazy dribbles. Yeah. And so I think, you know, and so, you know, we covered the bad part of the game. The last part of the game was great, man. We saw Dembouz running. We saw Fati. We saw Frankie come on for Sergio Roberto and look very dynamic. Looking to play 1-2s. You know, I think at times in those middle parts of the game when the team looks slow, Frankie De Jong is kind of sitting there like, what did I join? I wasn't expecting this. And so, you know, on the positive note, those young guys look good, man. And I'm excited to see this weekend, hopefully. Lord, please bless us. I want to see a Griezmann, Fati, Dembele front three with Griezmann playing as the striker. I think the more we're
starting...
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the more we see Griezmann up front as our main striker with the wingers in terms of Dembele and Fati, we're going to see that the team can be really quick and really beautiful and play a beautiful game. And then, you know, in terms of how we fit Messi in there, I mean, I think it would be cool to see like a back three midfield and Messi playing between the midfield and the front three. That could be a cool lineup. I even think we can make it work playing a 4-3-3 with Messi as the right winger. It's just going to take... Griezmann and Fati to be able to create some width, you know, throughout the sides, and as well as Alba when he comes back in. You know, we're not playing at a full healthy team, and
not
so
at all.
it's so at one point it's like hard to criticize what we're seeing, because what we're seeing is not going to be the full representative Barcelona that we hope to see in January, February, March, April, and May. At the same time, there are these clear bad signs of our away performance and of the team not moving quick enough that there are solutions to make now.
I think it's slowly changing. I think it's we're getting some of these young players more time. As we saw, Todibo had to play again, and he looked better than last game, thank the Lord. Sorry, did I say the wrong name?
Yeah, you said Todibo.
I meant Firpo, excuse me.
Okay.
We saw Firpo play way better than last time.
True.
And he was doing a little more interplay up on the left wing, and I liked it. It wasn't enough for me, but at least he seemed to be more composed. It seemed like the last performance he had didn't affect him psychologically, so he came out and performed.
Great point. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Firpo, I thought, hey, like, we don't have another choice. I mean, I guess we could have played Semedo right back, Sergi left, or something like
we
that.
We still played Semedo, though.
Yeah, but instead of Firpo, Sergi, basically.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'd like that Valverde gave him some confidence, put him in there. And, yeah, I thought he came back and performed well. I mean, the guy's still young. He needs to grow. You know, I think just to shout out some of the players, Mr. Under the Radar, Clement Lenglet.
Wonderful player.
Lenglet is, dude.
Solid.
Just so consistent.
But I think he's the rock at Suarez's feet. He's
really?
So
yeah,
solid.
It's just Lenglet back there. I mean, besides Messi and Stegen, since the beginning of last season, I think you got to go with Clem as being our most consistent player, right? I mean, he's just had such a crazy narrative of coming to Barca, being behind his countryman, who's the World Cup winner. Obviously, we don't need to beat a dead horse here and talk about Umtiti's health issues, but he's come from that to being the main starter at Barcelona, to being the main starter for the defending world champions, and I couldn't be more happy for the guy. I even think I might need to buy a Lenglet jersey this season. I think I might. I mean, it's going to be hard. I try to buy a Messi jersey every year. I want a Griezmann jersey. I want a Frankie de Jong jersey.
Stop. You want every jersey. You don't have to name these players.
Except for Busquets and Rakitic.
Okay, yeah. Except for the people that you always spread fecal matter all over.
Well,
verbally.
I want to see the team play well, you know? I mean, we're in like a red territory here. This isn't like normally where we would do poorly and win, right? That was kind of the ethos of the last 2 years with Valverde that we were members of, and I think we might have been wrong, which was, you know what? Valverde's team isn't that creative, and it's a lot of let's play the game and hope Messi saves us, but you know what? If we're winning these games, we're happy enough. And then what happens is we come up against these bigger teams, Roma, not a bigger team, come up against Liverpool, a big team, and then we played Valencia in the Copa del Rey finals, and it's like you play the whole season with Messi saving you and barely scraping by these victories, and then when the games actually matter, you lose.
Well, they also, over all these games and watching Valverde's play over the last 2 years, your point of being, you know, unenergetic and just winning games or drawing games to maintain like the unbeaten streak that we had, the other teams figure it out very quickly, right? We come out, we play the same lineup, we have the same energy, we just try to keep the ball, we try to have Messi save us. It's so easy to predict, and with these other teams being smart and dynamic, it just makes our game, after those 2 years, so predictable that we are struggling to find our groove, especially away. And I think an issue with that is also the lineups he's choosing. Like, the last lineup of the away game, and I know we talked about this in the last pod, but
Sergi and Raki.
Yeah, just, I don't understand what he's thinking when we go away. Like, why is he trying these awful,
untested
lineups? But, I don't know. I'm sick and tired of talking about Valverde, honestly.
I'm sick and tired of talking about Valverde, but we won't be done until he's out or
True.
We start playing better. I don't know how that coin toss is going to end up because, you know, we talk, again, we're in the same period where after a home game we're happy-ish and then we're going to go away. And if we lose, dude, they might have to roll some heads in terms of Valverde's.
They should have already.
On the other end, kind of going back to your point about away games and overall same lineups, it seems like teams have learned that if they press us and they play a highly aggressive game, they can take control of moments when our team is just slow in the buildup, when those players like Busquets and Rakitic that I've described are kind of hesitant or playing the defensive pass like that infamous back pass by Rakitic against Liverpool last season.
This is the 50th mention per pod. Okay.
And so I think that adding the youth to the team will help us defeat that. And I think that, you know, kind of what we talked about with Griezmann, we were excited to see him come in because we wanted a player who hadn't won World Cups and Champions League titles and 10 La Ligas, you know, and 5 Copa del Reyes in a row, et cetera.
He's hungry.
Yeah, he's hungry. But so is Fatih. So is Frankie. I think Arthur is too. He hasn't won that much with Barca. Dembouz obviously needs to prove himself. You know, one last point about the Villarreal game, I will say, I thought our defense looked improved. Overall, I didn't think we had that Swiss cheese that we always talk about and that constant fear when someone's running at us that something bad will happen. I think overall the defense looked more alert.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think we had still some sketchy plays with some of these passes where the, I forget his name. I think the African guy, the young guy.
On what team?
Yeah, so he would be running forward, and he gets a beautiful pass into him, and he's just in a perfect position. Luckily, we had Lenglet to snuff out some of those runs, but can't let some of this go.
True, but that's also part of the defense, right, is Lenglet being there.
No, I know, but I'm saying that on the two sides of the pitch, right, when we're never having fast breaks. We're never making these passes. We have no open field pushing forward. That's why we've, except for where Suarez had that open, and he's
so slow.
Yeah, it was bad. But on the other side, we're always letting these open runs out, and it's really like we need to either do one of two things: lock that down so we don't have to worry so much and have these fast breaks, or we need to do the same thing on the other end. But the problem is the possession that we hold is always makes it harder for us to open the field because we just hold the ball, you know, kick it around, and then defense set up. I've said this before. The width is an issue, as we've talked
and
about.
And I think what you're saying is kind of what I'm saying, man. It's like having Busquets, Sergio Roberto, and Rakitic in the midfield is not conducive to a quick forward-looking game. Having Arthur this game, clearly he's and that's kind of what I started this pod with, is like Arthur and Frankie seem like they're on a different wavelength. And they're on the wavelength sure. I want the team to be on.
Yeah, yeah.
And so some of these older players, man, I mean, we've talked about it hundreds of times. I don't know what the reason why they're not playing to the level we think they need to be. It's age, it's complacency, you know, whatever you think it is. But there's a clear difference when Frankie and Arthur are there trying to pass the ball forward compared to Sergio Roberto or Rakitic or Busquets. And I, you know, just to close that point, one thing I will say, and I noted it last game about Rakitic and how it didn't look like he was trying to cement his place as a starter and didn't have that hunger that I would expect a player of his skill to have when he's being benched. I mean, he didn't even get called up for Villarreal. But it doesn't it doesn't seem like Rakitic, Busquets, Sergio Roberto are adapting their game to be better, you know? This was the issue we talked about at the end of last season, which is, you know, Valverde had a certain lineup. He would start every game, and so these players didn't ever have that fear that they were going to be replaced. Now we have some youth. Now we have some alternative players, and I hope to see them put pressure so our, you know, our heroes become great, but also so that these new guys become great as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I just do want to say one quick thing. I think Semedo needs to
improve. He needs to develop.
Offensively especially.
That's the issue, man. And I think there was even a race one. No, I think Sport or Mundo Deportivo put out a story, but it was basically like, and I've said in the last few pods, like, when is Semedo going to get better? That's the issue, is that, you know, 2 years ago, I think, maybe three when we signed him, I was happy. You know, we got rid of Dani Alves and we needed someone to take his spot. And Semedo was supposed to be that guy. And then, you know, it turned out that it was hard for him to get in the team and that Sergio Roberto was, if not only better, at least better suited for what we needed at the time. And so, you know, the last few years we've been hoping Semedo would improve and get a lot better. And I just don't see it. He's not an awful player by any means. And
no.
He didn't have like a Firpo last game type performance. Yeah. But I just fear that I don't see a lot of development. And I think that is kind of part of my fear in general about, again, you guys going to hear it. It's like hearing about Trump in America. It's like Valverde, you know,
true.
Like we just can't stop talking about him. But I just don't know if he's the coach needed to make these players improve. And I think when I see Dembele a lot of times, especially, I mean, part of it is that he never gets into a season-long top form because he's always injured. But I feel like he's the player in particular who he needs a coach to kind of you know, shake his head sometimes and say, like, hey, like, that's not what you're supposed to do. Like, this is how I need you to play. And Valverde is not that coach.
He needs someone to look up to, someone to tell him when he's wrong, you know, fix his form, fix all these things. You can see Valverde every time he's talking to the team. It doesn't. If I had that guy telling me what to do, I would probably shrug it off. Like, it would bother me.
So
I don't want to listen to him.
No Barca fan does. So I guess we'll wrap up the Villarreal game. One thing we will say, we were in a little bit of a bad mood after the last game, right? It was pretty bad, atrocious performance.
Oh, yes.
I was super surprised after that Granada game because I had never seen the Barca fans across all platforms of social media be so anti-Valverde and want him out. And, you know, an interesting thing about the team is right after that performance, there were some reports that some people were losing confidence in him. And then as well tonight, actually, I guess last night in Barcelona, there was reports that there was like a team meeting of players only with no coaches held by Piqué. I saw Umtiti and Griezmann pull up to it. And so, you know, it's good to see the leaders of the team understand that there's an issue and try to proactively address it, right? I mean,
great.
Guys, it's not even October yet. So there's still room to improve, right? We just talked today about Madrid being top of the table. I think they're only 4 points above us. They're at 14 and we're at 10. And so, you know, there's a lot of room there for us to get better. And, you know, we have 6 points against Real. We have 6 points against Atletico left. You know what I'm saying? And so there's room for us to win the league. It's not by any means out of our grasp. And so I am on some level happy to see the players try to take control and have meetings.
Well, it's a cohesive thing, right? They're trying to talk to each other. They're trying to figure things out. And if the coach isn't the one to unite them, it's good to see that they're trying to unite with each other outside of that realm. The worst thing you can do is have the young players and the more mature players not on the same page or not cohesive, right? Because these are the players that we want to become the future. And if Piqué, Messi, Griezmann, all these people that are a little bit older, a little more experienced, can guide these players to a better light, not Valverde's light, that is darkness, pitch black, I'm all for it. And I hope to see that on the pitch.
Speaking of news reports, one of the things that I saw Piqué say after the game, which was a point I actually made a few months ago, maybe a few weeks ago, was about the debacle of this preseason and how it affected them in terms of cohesion. If you remember, I talked a lot about how we went to Japan, we went to America, we went, you know, back to Spain, we went back to America. There was all this travel.
Yeah.
I think we're really seeing the effects of it. And actually, not only on cohesion, I do think this has some effect on some of the injuries we've seen. I mean, Messi was hurt before this preseason really even started, so I guess that doesn't count, but it just does seem like overall the preseason has really kind of tainted our ability to have a great squad that understands each other at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a hard thing to cope with too, I think. Travel is rough on the body. You're sitting on a plane for X amount of hours. You get tight. You don't do the proper physical therapy.
You're not staying at home.
Yeah.
Piqué doesn't have Shakira.
True.
You know how that goes.
Nice night with Shakira. I wanted to touch on the big German story.
I'm pissed off. I gotta just be honest.
That wasn't
Why don't
cool.
you go ahead and lay down what the Bayern president said
so,
today?
So basically, they said if Ter Stegen becomes the number one for the German national team, they're not going to send the players from Bayern to play on the national team. Like, what a ridiculous...
Yeah, it's like Trump in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Quid pro quo, you know? It's like, well, if you don't start our guy, we're going to not put our players out there. Which, let's just be real here, right? And this is kind of creating an interesting power dynamic between the German national team and Bayern. Bayern's obviously the biggest German club ever and has a lot of starters on the national team play for them. But now it's kind of like a manhood competition. And if the German coach decides to play Stegen as number one, I mean, what, Bayern are going to just not let their players go? And all these German kids and players are going to be like, you're not going to let us play for the national team?
Honestly, that's like a national disgrace in my eyes. Like,
yeah, holding it hostage.
Yeah.
I mean, it's confusing because Manuel Neuer is a German icon and World Cup winner, but at the same time, he's older, and we saw Stegen, man. Let's give our boy some time.
Yeah, we know. We definitely need him time on the national team. And I don't know what the big deal is. I get it. Older players, he has a lot of respect. He has a lot of accolades. It's time to make a change at some point. You can't keep... it's like Suarez almost. You can't just keep playing Suarez. The gameplay level might be different, but you can't keep playing him as much. We need him to be subbed. We need these young players to get time. I've said this a million times.
The funny part is that Suarez actually plays good for Uruguay, and like magically in the Copa America, he lost like 15 pounds to play better.
Oh, I remember that. Oh my God, I was so mad at that.
Yeah, I don't know if it was true, and there were even some reports kind of on the broadcast that sounded like they were booing Suarez when he got taken off, which is harsh. You shouldn't boo Luis Suarez at the Camp Nou, even though he is playing atrocious and needs to be benched. I actually didn't think they booed him. I thought there was some chance going on, but crazy. Let's look ahead, forward, positive use, positive Adam.
Let's go.
Trying to get Barca back on task, and we have an away game on Saturday at 7 a.m.
Getafe.
Yes, yeah. At Getafe.
Yeah.
What are you feeling? What are you thinking? What's your predictions?
I feel like before we've had some trouble with Getafe. I honestly hope that he doesn't start Suarez. I hope he starts Dembouz. He's healthy. I wouldn't be surprised if he played Fati first and see how that goes with
Fati, Dembele, Griezmann.
Because Messi's out, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's a perfect opportunity to take the initiative. If he doesn't play Arthur, I might assassinate Valverde.
But let's be honest, that's the dark, twisted fantasy we have. If Valverde plays the young players who will make the team better, that if is not going to happen.
But wait, we've seen him play these awful lineups away, and why wouldn't you take it? You've taken all these awful chances, all of these unconstructed, unthought lineups, but you won't play some of the most upcoming stars. Dembele, Fati, they had a great connection in the game. Griezmann looked really good. Arthur looked really good. I don't know how you would even question it almost. Like that.
That's Valverde. But I agree with you. Hopefully he will bench Suarez. I kind of, you know who I want to see a little more of in the midfield? Arturo Vidal.
I would agree with that.
I want to see like a Frankie.
Not starting.
I want to see a Arthur, Frankie De Jong playing like the holding Busquets role, and then Vidal. I would be interested to see that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we know Valverde doesn't have the huevos for that, so I doubt it's going to happen. But that'd be really cool. I would give you a plus one for that if you got that.
What's your prediction for the game?
I'm going to go 2-0.
Really?
Yeah.
Clean sheet away.
Yeah. Bold. You know why? Because if he starts, based on my lineup prediction, if he starts these players, I think magic will happen.
Wow.
If he doesn't, I think it's going to be a...
So 2-0, who's going to score?
Dembouz.
Yes. And who else?
And then, let's see. I want to say Griezmann, because I think he's warming up to the team more. So I'm going to go with those two.
And I'm going to go 3-1.
Okay.
2 Griezmann, 1 Dembele.
Okay.
Boom.
Dang.
Lock it in.
I like it. I'll subscribe to that.
Yes.
Speaking
of
which,
yeah.
Please leave us a review on iTunes. Follow us on Spotify.
At Barca Breakdown, Twitter and Instagram.
Yes.
We've been interacting with more of you guys.
True.
Gonna try and live tweet some more of the games, throw out some spicy memes, hopefully.
I'm trying to do some Photoshop. It's not working out too well.
But we're trying, guys. We're trying our hardest over here. So, yeah, if you guys could leave us a review on iTunes, really helps us a lot. And then, you know, if any of you listening to this podcast and message us at Barca Breakdown on Twitter or Instagram, 100% guarantee you we will respond. Looking for some constructive criticism, ideas, intro ideas. Do we need to make a little blurb at the beginning of the pod where we go over what we're going to cover this week? Are there any guest podcasters you think we should try and collaborate with to get them on here or get on their pod? Any ideas you guys have would be so appreciated.
If anyone knows Lionel Messi.
Yeah, please. If you know Lionel Messi and you want to have him invite me to his house, that would also be wonderful.
The dreams. This is going to happen. I think in the next year, we're going to meet Lionel Messi. You know, we're going to be at
He's going to have a Barca Breakdown apparel once we come out with that.
Can't wait until we get some shirts.
Yes.
Although we are updating our logo, so stay tuned for that.
Also, if you want to give us some feedback on logo, just
yeah.
message us on Twitter, Instagram. Say, hey, guys, let me see the logo. I'll give you some thoughts, some
yeah.
hot takes.
Yeah. THOTS, thoughts.
Yes. Anyways, sorry, that last minute there was Fantasy Land by Yus and Adam. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you all have a wonderful day and week, and I hope we have a good away game for once.
We'll see you guys on Saturday.